One man shall save the realm, six shall he gather, one hero Albion's hope, dark shall he scatter, long shall he search afar, while hope betide him, one man noble birth, six men beside him, seven sentinels shall ride on the wind of battle.
Hordes of the Things by A.P.R. Marshall and J.H.W. Lloyd. An epic fantasy. The Second Chronicle.
In the elder times, after the dawn of the world, a darkness spread over the face of the land, and the gods turned to their own affairs. And all the lands of Middlesea were ruled by the Evil One. Save one small kingdom called Albion. So the Evil One gathered the Children of Darkness, Snark and Sea Wolf and Goblin and Troll, and suckled them noisily, but most carefully. And they planned a black muster to crush Albion utterly, that evil would triumph earth-wide and everywhere. And the Evil One, so it is written, spake thus wise: First shall I command out of Zilber into Albion mine loathsome priests, the Brotherhood of Night, to corrupt and soften the people of Albion, that we might gobble them up. Yum, 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 she added, according to some versions. Now the king of Albion was Ulfric III, who heeded not the danger, nor the gravely warnings of the Crown Prince, his valiant son. Thus it came to pass that the fair realm of Albion, in this perilous hour, was entrusted by the White Council into the hands of the great wizard, Radox the Green, that he might find the seven heroes who would save the land. And in turn, the wise Radox did entrust the task to Aegar, son of Aethar, a young log poacher.
Hero, hero, that's all I ever hear about. What sort of profession is that for a daughter of mine?
Son, mother.
You always have to bring sex into it.
Look, I happen to like being a hero.
The money I wasted giving you dancing lessons. And what are you interested in? Having a neck like a bull, I ask.
You have to have a neck like a bull. It's one of the rules.
I don't care. You don't have to keep a bull in here so people can make favorable comparisons if they drop by.
Oh, Mother, you mustn't call him a bull. You know he gets offended.
So what should I call him? An ant? Biggest ant I ever saw.
Just ignore her, Stephen. She doesn't understand minotaurs.
And all these monks passing through the village. I know what's going on. It's the doing of that chef, isn't it? That aged cook you met in the forest.
Radox is not a cook, I've told you.
I've seen him many a time. Chopping onions, boiling things, slicing parsley.
He's a wizard, Radox the Green.
Making radish water lilies and little slivers of anchovy for that colourful touch.
He just happens to believe that the presentation is as important as the spell. He can hardly afford to drop his standards with evil hordes massing all around.
Don't bring your politics into this house. It's wicked, all this nonsense about evil afoot and that crown prince out looking for staunch men when he should be settling down with a husband.
It's true, Mother. You may as well know. I was with the Sibyl last night.
So, that's where
but nothing happened.
Well, thank the gods for small fortunes at least.
Huh? It was for advice. She told me to await a sign. Oh, you don't understand, Mother.
No, I don't. I don't understand all this hero business. First, you wanted the neck. Just the neck. Fine. Nice hobby for the boy, I thought. Then, the shoulders of hewn marble. Then, the muscles with veins standing out like whipcords. You want to watch that boy, they said. He's not eating properly. Then, last week, you start cavorting with Sibyls and lying about at home awaiting a sign all day long. They should see the state of your bedroom. The place is littered with signs. Goat's entrails and wolves' droppings all over the floor. Lion cubs all over your trousers.
They keep dropping in my lap, Mother.
Well, why don't you brush them off? Signs.
Well, it has to be the right sign, not just any sign. A message from Radox.
Not when you can be quiet. You can't even talk properly. Spend all day sharpening your mighty sword. Where will it all end, I ask myself? When are you going to do something? When will you fight?
Yes, that seems sharp enough.
Oh, that's right. Cut my head off. Oh, very clever, very witty.
Put it in a saddlebag, will you, Stephen? We may need it.
Oh, look at the state of this bag. It's a disgrace. No wonder you never let me see inside it before.
Now we can wait for the sign and peep. Quick, Stephen, douse the lights. Over here. Who's there?
A message.
A friend. Thank the gods you've come, friend. I've been waiting for... Hello there.
My name is Golin, at your service, Master.
Oh, you're down there.
I bring a message from Radox the Green. That stew smells nice.
That stew smells nice.
Now, that's not the message. Oh. Pass the bread, would you? I've had better.
It is but plain fare.
You're telling me. Is there any more? I'll get it. Which of you is the human, Agar?
I am Agar, son of Aethar.
By the moons of Tranfax, you're a size, aren't you?
Me? No, I don't think I'm particular.
Pass that fruit you have over there. What do they feed you on?
Here. But what of this message?
Message? I have it safely, Master, never fear. I'm a dwarf, you know.
Oh?
No, I only say that because some people find it hard to believe. You'll be doing the exercises, I suppose.
The exercises?
The height exercises. I knew it, I can always tell. Work wonders for me, I can tell you. Opened up whole new worlds. Longshanks, everyone calls me now.
Longshanks?
Yes?
What? Oh, no, I was just wondering why...
You don't mind if I finish off this pheasant of yours, do you? Although, you may be surprised by this, Master. I was once worried that I may have a height problem.
Really?
Yes. Till I met Radox the Green and he told me about the exercises. See? This room seems low to me now. I can almost reach up and touch the top of these pillars.
I think you're standing under the table.
Well, the principle is the same. Here's the message. I'm sorry about the gravy on it.
Thank you, stout Golin.
And the honey. And a bit of cream. And the bit up the side is where I had to stir some mead.
What's this?
It's only a bit of chicken grease.
Foolish and greedy dwarf. How am I supposed to read this?
Oh, it's not for reading. He failed runes. Throw it on the fire.
What?
Give it here.
Good morrow, Agar, son of Aethar.
Radox, but how did you get here?
I am but a vision in the flames. I'm sorry the picture isn't very good, but it's difficult in these lowland areas. I bring you urgent word from my seat at the Great Conference of Wizards. Can I smell chicken fat?
It's nothing. Carry on, Master.
Very well. The situation is now even worse than I feared. The swirling killer loons of death surround the East Gate, destroying all who try to flee the Kingdom of Albion. Deadly plants obscure the southern byways, and the roads are crawling with the brethren of the Brotherhood of Light. You must leave at once. The six heroes who will aid you save the realm must be summoned from beyond the havens.
How shall I do this?
Just a moment while I look it up. Which service do we require, heroes? Yes. You must find the legendary tremendous battle horn, Summon Trumpet. Only this can call the heroes to Albion's aid.
Summon Trumpet. I have heard songs of it. But where is it?
That I know not. But there is one in Middlesea who might. Seek you, Horn Shaper of the Doomsday Guild in Zaguloth. There is still one exit through the mountains known only to dwarves. So, I send you Golin Longshanks here to... hello, Golin?
I'm here.
Oh, yes, there you are. Go now. I shall be with you in spirit.
But can't you help?
No, I'm far too busy here at the Great Conference, I'm afraid. I don't have a moment. Now, hurry up. Don't waste... Why is my arm all sticky? It feels like me.
Very well, I shall set out at once. Stephen, come, saddle up.
Farewell, both of you, and be of strong heart.
No, please, don't fade away. I wanted to work with you about my exercises.
The journey is long, and you will need two good legs.
Oh, I'll take the pheasant with me then. Hey, Master, wait for me.
And so, upon the word of the evil one, the hellish brethren of the Brotherhood of Night set out upon every road, track, and thoroughfare, preaching of the night of all evil yet to come. None dared bar their way, for they were a holy order, sacred and untouchable, and sacrificed anyone whom they disliked. And so in fear were many converted to the dark ways. And in time did the brothers reach Castle Comfy Lawns itself, home of the foolish King Ulfric the Wise.
Ah, yes, come in, my good monk. You are...
Brother Scrimner, your majesty.
Oh, yes.
From the Brotherhood of Knights.
Of course, your bishop is very kind. I need someone to take down a letter for me.
At your service, sire.
Right. From good King Ulfric.
Certainly, your majesty.
Good. Now, from good King Ulfric the Wise, the third, to Veginin, Crown Prince of Albion, Castle Comfy Lawns, Milking Mass Eve, my son. Thank you for your letter of the third moon after virgin toast. I regret to say that the realm is in some disarray since you left, taking my trusted advisers. In particular, I'm most concerned about the increase in stag dancing amongst the common people. As you know, the royal stags are the exclusive property of the king, and if anyone dances with them, it should be me. Naturally, I have no desire to do this at all, as they are very ugly, clumsy on their feet, and always want to lead, just like your mother. Brackets, joke, close brackets. The log poaching was bad enough, but I cannot tolerate this kind of illicit terpsichore with the royal venison. Without tough new legislation... Legislation drawn up. Do you have everything you need, brother? Parchment, quill, ink, large tub of water. The guards aren't making things difficult for you, are they?
No, Majesty. I am just baptizing them.
Oh, I see. Right. legislation, and so on. Another thing I'm concerned about is religious freedom. So, when I heard that a sect of poor monks, the Brotherhood of Knight from Zilwar, were being mercilessly persecuted for their beliefs, I was most upset. These humble, hooded folk simply travel about the realm, preaching and baptizing...
Sorry, Majesty, rather a difficult baptism, that one. He was rather strong.
It looked for a moment as if you were drowning him.
Very droll, Majesty.
I must say, Brother Scrivener, I didn't realize that so many of the castle guards were keen to join your faith.
They are not, Majesty. We only baptize those who won't join, just to be on the safe side.
That's very charitable of you. Shall we continue?
Majesty.
I am rather disturbed to find that the leader of this sect, namely the High Bishop of Zilwar, is on this so-called list of death you kindly enclosed in your letter, telling me of your future plans. This harmless old man with sight problems.
Sorry, Majesty, it is rather difficult for me to hold the quill as well as doing this. Would you mind?
No, of course not. I just press the head down and hold it under, don't I?
No!
Bit harder, Majesty.
Oh, sorry. This harmless old man with sight problems has graciously lent me one of his order to deputize for my advisors, which I hope will cause you to reconsider. Oh, yours, Daddy. Could you read that back, please?
Certainly. Benjamin, you righteous scum. Your resistance is doomed. Give yourself up to the children of the evil one at once.
Yes, well, that seems to have the same sort of gist about it. How soon can you...
Her Royal Highness Queen Elfrida of...
I'm sick of your disgusting behavior, Ulfric. Do you hear?
You are dismissed, brother.
Yes, sire.
I do hope this is urgent, dear. Stag dancing is spreading like wildfire.
Never mind the stags. I'm sick of it. Do you hear?
Now, don't get hysterical, dear. There's nothing wrong with a king wanting to change clothes with a commoner for a day, is there?
For a day? Fine.
Well, then, I've picked a day. That's all.
Well, what about yesterday and the day before? And the whole of virgin toast.
Oh, no.
And the rest of your reign. You seem to spend every day changing clothes with a commoner. Now, who is it this time?
Just a commoner.
Which one, precisely?
Well, you wouldn't know the family. They live a long way from here.
Who?
Well...
Yes?
The woodcutter's daughter.
I thought so. Look, Ulfric, the whole point of changing clothes with a commoner is so that you can go about unnoticed.
Well,
I wouldn't mind if you were honest about the whole thing and admitted it was just because you like wearing wimples.
I do not like wearing wimples.
And farthingales and queasums and dumblet shoes and folk danglers.
Just a minute, what are dumblet shoes?
You see, you don't even do it properly.
I have to find out what people really think of me. It's essential for policy formation.
I'll tell you what people think of you. They think you dress up as the woodcutter's daughter all the time.
That's just a subjective viewpoint. I got on very well with the woodcutter.
What are you doing to the royal guards? That's the last one left.
Is it?
Yes, young Harold from the lower village.
Oh, yes, so it is.
Haven't you noticed what's happening to the castle?
Really, Elfrida, do you take me for a fool? Of course I have. And I've had an assurance from my good friend, the evil flesh-eating Lord of Crown, that he'll send me thousands of new guards tomorrow.
Oh. Well, I suppose that's all right, then.
Thus did King Ulfric betray sweet Albion to the hordes. And it came to pass in these times that south of Albion, in the land of Gwan, the good people saw the forces of the evil one on high, which turned them mad. And in their madness did they go to their plants and talk to them. And they did converse with their flowers, even as they watered them. And the plants of Gwan learned their language well and swiftly, and listened, even when they were not being spoken unto. And the plants conversed amongst themselves, the lusty wheat saying, "Verily we plants sit out in the cold fields all night, receiving naught but water to sustain us. And while our masters cover themselves with jerkins warm and richly coloured, they do cover us most cruelly, and eat all manner of good wares, including ourselves." So the plants of Kvarn rose against our masters and defeated them. And they were hungry, but being wise they ate but few of their masters. Those remaining they placed in the earth, with but a small part showing, and watered them. And it came to pass that the plant kingdom of Gwan had a poor harvest, and looked them elsewhere for food. So it was that the crown prince Vegenin, leaving Albion by the southways, was forced to listen he to his father's advisers, and disguise himself most unheroically, to reach the temple of Zilbor.
Behold, before us lies the devilish temple of the Brotherhood of Night. Now dost not shush, I, Crown Prince Vegenin. Scouting in these bushes is no princely task.
Please, Highness, keep your voice down. They might hear us.
So should they hear the knell of their own black-hearted order.
Yes, yes, Highness, but wouldn't it be better to say...
Phase in
the knell over, say, 20 years?
Over the reciprocal agreements.
Reciprocal agreements, of course.
Reciprocal agreements? Ha! And as for these azalea twigs protruding from my crown, begone! I have journeyed here by coward's means, but now I will emerge and strike Black Zilbor's temple right asunder, as my list does meekly demand. Come inside the walls.
Well, Highness, that wouldn't be wise.
No, there's something you should know about the High Bishop of Zilbor.
Out! Away with bogus vegetation, fake and leafy. Through the entrance you will stride with me. Come! Aside! Aside, foul brothers, for we would parley with your priest.
None may enter the inner sanctum of the High Bishop of Zilbor.
Aside, I say!
But Highness...
Silence! There, inside this pitch-dark chamber, cowers mighty Zilbor.
Stand aside, brothers. Let him enter the chapel of the High Bishop.
You see? Cowards!
Highness, we keep trying to tell you. The Bishop of Zilbor has the hereditary gaze of all leaders of the Brotherhood.
A look that turns anything on which it falls to ashes.
Ah, well. Stand back once more, rank brethren, for I must leave this place and find...
Come in. Come into the light where I can see you. I shall light more candles.
The door's locked.
My foot just turned into a heap of ashes.
A shaft of light exposed it to his eyes. Courage.
Courage?
Foul Bishop Zilbor, I presume. We meet at last.
That is my title. Well, and yours?
This is the Crown Prince Vegenen of... Oh, my arm's gone. Stay in the shadows, Highness. Oh, my ear, my ear. Oh, move over. It's still quite dark just there.
You are but lowly, chattel.
What call you I?
Your Highness, you must speak with more tact. I say there, Your Grace. Now look here.
Yes.
Oh. He's completely gone. Up in smoke, just a heap of earth.
I am the Crown Prince Vegenen of Albion, and deliverer of your doom. But first, before I slay you, tell me where I need to go to find these others next upon my list.
I have that knowledge, but first I must be sure to whom I speak. Step into the full light of my candle.
No, don't. I had it, Highness. A trick. Get him to look at his own heart.
My heart. Where exactly is that?
On the left of your chest, just here.
Fortunately, I have just emptied the holy ashtrays. Now, Crown Prince, if that is who you are, I trust you are not afraid to step from those shadows where you cringe and let me see you, or are you a coward?
That I am not! Behold, I call your bluff!
Fool! Now I can see you!
And during all this time, seeing the rise of the Brotherhood, in the surrounding land, the last few remaining men of goodness did seek to band themselves together for protection. But from the Sarpather of the Dark, the Evil One did see them, and sent each an appropriate doom, such that their standard not last for a long time, and many were the fallen. The company of most droning mystic bards were brutally bored to death, blow by blow in one day, by the masked behemoths of Home Mead Brewery. The great fellowship of sportsmen were besieged in their towers by the slavering ranks of the snapping triumvirate of Athlete's Foot, and long and itchy was their fungoid infection before the end. And great in number were the other defeated. All save the members of the mightiest society of all, those most worthy guardians of right, the Doomsday Guild.
Approach the halls of the Doomsday Guild.
I, Wind Charmer.
Prove thyself.
So be it.
My dear, how pretty you are today. What beautiful gusts. It really is wonderful to have you blowing up here, breezy as ever. No, I mean it. Would you care for an olive?
Enter, for you are truly Master Wind Charmer.
Good Master Horn Shaper, I greet thee.
And thou, Master Wind Charmer, what brings thou back to our hallowed halls most early this day?
I cannot proceed with charming the winds without rest. Already this dawn, 5 hurricanes have turned most nasty upon me.
This cannot be. But neither the mightiest typhoon nor the merest tiny fart can resist the power of the Master Wind Charmer.
Oh, a normal occasion, this is such.
What means thou?
The powers of evil all around grow rapidly, and so much so that e'en the Doomsday Guild cannot stem the grisly tide. Have you word of our fellow masters?
Aye, here. The Master Sea Stalker is furthest from this place, stalking the sea of which he has heard in far most northern climes.
Why so?
He has stalked the seas regularly that lie in these parts, and the oceans grow used to his technique and conceal themselves.
Fantastic possibility.
But true, so such.
How thus?
They rearrange their tides when he springeth out from behind the tree. His hair now groweth most sandy upon the scalp, and cloggeth his mighty comb.
It is as I feared. But still there is the Master's room divider and lemon squeezer.
Master, thinkst thou not?
Indeed not so. But thinkest me the Doomsday Guild shall need all power on earth,
now the Brotherhood of Night sets foot upon the roads, attempting to turn all to follow the ways of the Evil One.
Name not that name within these walls, Master.
Already I have seen from my seat upon the winds the Crown Prince Veginin lured near to his doom. The time has come when...
Who dares to approach the halls of the Doomsday Guild?
My name is Aegor, son of Aethor.
What is your trade?
I am but a simple log poacher.
So, log poacher, what thinkst thou, master? Log poacher, hath no great thing about it, hath it?
Nay.
Is no trade worthy of this guild, this poaching of the logs?
Good master, worthy lord, I seek not to become a guildsman, but I'm here upon the advice of Radox the Green, with my guide. I am here in quest of Master Hornshaper, he who knows all that can be known concerning hornly matters.
I am Hornshaper. What dost thou want, log poacher?
I would know something concerning horns.
Ah, horns, is it? Then thou comest to the right place. I know all there is to know on horns and more. No hornish lore does evade my eyes, not any horn-related topic of most kind. I know most precious of all, the sacred secret of all horns.
What secret is that?
Why, precious knowledge. Know ye that a horn must be wide at one end and narrow at the other. Never shall it be wide at both ends, nor shall both ends narrow be. Nor narrow in the middle and wide at either extremity, else will not function as a horn.
Yes, very interesting. But tell me one more thing, Master Hornshaper. Where may I find the legendary, tremendous horn? Summon trumpet.
So, knowest thee of summon trumpet, dost thou, yeah. Poacher? Then there is more to thee than thy appearance dost belie. Summon trumpet. A mighty horn, most seemly shaped, so as to be amongst all hornly things, wider than all at the booting end, and narrower than a weasel's ankle at the other.
But where, worthy master, may I find this noble instrument?
It is deep within the caverns, not a sparrow's flight from these falls among the mountains. There.
Thank you, master. I am greatly indebted to your kindness. Come, Golin.
But, master, tell you not him of the dread Sphinx of the Caverns who guardeth the summon trumpet?
Nay, such is the job of Master Cavern Warner, thou knowest well. I durst not encroach upon his domain.
This way, I think.
Are you sure this takes us to the treasury? It's so dark.
Easy, Stephen. All dwarves know all caverns. It's our own territory.
What?
This banana is horrible.
What? Oh, selfish and untrustworthy dwarf. That was the last candle.
Oh, I thought it tasted a bit hot up one end. I thought you'd put pepper on it.
Now we can see no way ahead at all.
What's the matter with him?
Nothing. I think it reminds him of somewhere he was lost once. Now lead us on, if this is your domain.
Very well, master.
Can do something about your stomach.
That wasn't my stomach.
Then, what?
In the second chronicle of Hordes of the Things, Patrick McGee was the chronicler, Miriam Margulies was Aegar's mother, Aegar himself was Christian Rodsker, King Ulfric the Wise III was Paul Eddington, his first advisor was Hugh Thomas, who was also Windcharmer, his first assistant advisor was David Ross, who was also Horn Shaper, and Queen Elfrida was Maggie Steed. Golin Longshanks was Jonathan Lynn, the Crown Prince was Simon Callow, the High Bishop of Zilbor and Brother Scrivener were Aubrey Woods, and Radox the Green was Frank Middlemass. The carvers of the mystic runes were Andrew Marshall and John Lloyd, and the mighty cleaver of a recording tape, Jeffrey Perkins.